E-R-K-E-Y.
Welcome to America Tonight, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. All of you know how we roll here. We're going right to the Capitol, inside the Beltway, with Victoria Jones from Talk Radio News. The big buzz has to be that President Obama decides to take a swing at businesses, in a sense, because he said, in speaking to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce for the first time, to basically get off the sidelines and asked for an investment in the economy. Wow. Victoria, what was the reaction to Obama's speech? And I have to tell you, I'm kind of surprised by that.
Well, it was interesting because he was well received in some ways, and then there were crickets in the room in some other ways. He got some laugh lines, but when there was an opportunity for applause to some of what seemed to be applause lines, he really didn't get it.
He didn't.
No.
It was a tough crowd. That's not his crowd. You know that. Not really.
No, not his crowd. Not his crowd at all. So it was interesting, and it was quite a powerful speech that he gave. I mean, he really did pack quite a wallop.
Yeah, no kidding. What did he ask for? Something like $2 trillion to be invested in the economy?
Yes, he asked for a considerable amount of money to be invested in the economy. But more than that, I mean, he asked them to create jobs. And more than that, he also said, look, and I'll just give you one quotation here. He said, look, you know, if you're going to reform the tax code and increase exports, basically, he said, the benefits can't just translate into greater profits and bonuses for those at the top. They have to be shared by American workers. And, you know, some people have been trying to pass this as saying that that's socialist talk. But really, this isn't this exactly what they do on Wall Street?
Exactly.
Bonuses.
Yeah, bonuses. And that's the problem. The bank's too big to fail, then turning around. And then we find out about these unbelievable bonuses and people just go crazy. And, you know, that was the beginning of the end, I think, for so many. Absolutely. So let's switch from business and the reaction there to Egypt. First of all, the latest on what the administration is saying about Egypt. The president mentioning something about, you know, or Robert Gibbs saying, you know, we don't pick leaders. We don't pick foreign leaders because obviously, you know, you cover the White House. They're being peppered with questions about what are you going to do? What about Mubarak and all that kind of thing? So tell me what it was like in some of the stuff that was being, I guess, shouted out to Gibbs in his responses.
Yeah, the briefing today was interesting. He was saying that we don't pick leaders. And I think they want to make that very clear. They do not want this to turn into a situation where America is accused of fomenting a coup or being behind this in some way. So they are saying, you know, the Egyptians need to make this decision, but the process is the new buzzword. And they're saying it has to be a process. This transition has to be a process. So that's the big thing, the big point that they're making. The transition has to be a process, and that process has to start now.
All right, so Egypt's still in flux, and with happening, definitely, and with that happening, you have Congressman Ron Paul who comes out and says, listen, we need to end the aid to Egypt. We've given so much money already, $60 billion, and Mubarak to the Mubarak regime, and just in general, the foreign aid that we give out, $33 billion a year, this needs to end. What was the scuttlebutt on the congressman's comments?
Well, you know, people are so used to him saying things that are quite outrageous in many ways that I don't think people were surprised. And this coming on the heels of what Rand Paul said last week, which was that aid to Israel needs to stop because it's welfare, in a way, this is sort of in line with that.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. But again, Paul, especially, as you said, known for some of the comments he'll make, some of what he says I agree with. It's like you have to kind of comb through Ron Paul's comments, and you get some real good nuggets in there, but this one was definitely going to light a spark, I think, under a few people. So we move from Ron Paul to finally this last one. Gibbs is gone after a week, and I hear that the media is kind of excited about this, or some people in the media anyway that cover the White House, that
yeah,
there's going to be a changing of the guard.
We've been wondering when it's going to happen, and it is. He did announce today that this is his last week So I guess Jay Carney will start next week, and that'll be interesting because his first day will be Valentine's Day, and that's the day the budget comes out. So that'll be a great day to be hazed.
No kidding. Get your questions ready, Victoria. This is a fresh new day there, so you get in
you
there.
Bet.
Victoria Jones, Talk Radio News. Thanks again. We appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
All right, so we're talking about Egypt, of course, at the top, and Ron Paul, Congressman Ron Paul, saying, screw it, cut off the aid, and maybe that's what we need to do when it comes to all foreign aid. Look at what we're doing to our own country as far as the monetary situation is concerned, which is an interesting proposal. I'm wondering how many of you out there say, cut it out, just dump the aid. Keep that in mind, because we're going to talk about it at the tail end of the hour. I have some thoughts on that. There's two ways you could go in that process, and two thought patterns, I think. I get what the congressman is saying, and part of me really agrees with what he's saying. The problem is, you know the old song about needing friends in certain places. So if you completely pulled back all the money and became almost like an isolationist, what would that do to the country overall and to the future of the United States of America when it comes to allies? You do need some friends. Okay, so Egypt in that bizarre flux pattern, because what's happening now with this supposed transition from this dictatorship, because Mubarak was a dictator who was a whoremonger when it came to money. Where is he getting his money and where is his money? In U.S. banks and in Swiss banks. And how much of that money came from the United States? There's the question to ask. So what's happening is the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, is really kind of backing off of this, as is Gibbs, who was, I was talking to Victoria there, said he was being peppered with comments. Well, he's just a mouthpiece for the administration, and his job is to really be the gatekeeper and push everyone aside, and that's what he tries to do, and that's what he's trying to do with Egypt. So you keep repeating the thing that the U.S. wants a meaningful change in Egypt, but we need an outline of a series of steps and a timeline that the Egyptian people are comfortable with, which is crap and nonsense, because what's happening is the resistance is starting to wane. So, in other words, the revolution in the streets, in the square, where I'll tell you, it looks certain they were going to chase out Mubarak. But now with the soldiers in the last couple of days, or the last couple of last week, rather, who have been out in the square in Cairo and in other areas, they've had enough of a pushback, I think, that what you're starting to see is that movement is waning a bit. The question was posed, is it done? Is it over with? Have they lost the gas? Did they take their foot off the pedal? And I read something today in The Independent. And in The Independent, they said, you know, Mubarak, with the reign that he's had, is finally coming to an end. There's no doubt about that. But you've got businesses, shops open, crazy traffic jams, banks are blown and going. As of this week, reform, that's the question. What is the reform? So Mubarak maybe survives in this so-called transition, but the Muslim Brotherhood, in looking under the hood, doesn't look so great to a lot of people, and they're kind of backing away. We're going to talk about this at the tail end of the hour. Coming up next, a great charity, some things that they're doing in Latin America to help the people really change their lives. Stay with us. That's coming up around the bend here on America Tonight.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power. Regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, Oregacillin Physician Strength Capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at herbalheater.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on-sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at herbalhealer.com.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. February 7th, 2011. Gold opened this morning at $1,348.90. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,384.04, $692.02 for a half ounce, or $346.01 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,384.04, $692.02, and $346.01.
The Constitution and the Bill of Rights have been reduced to old relics politicians ignore, trample with their outlandish, overreaching policies. Your support of the Campaign for Liberty stands in the way of this insidious process. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I've teamed up with the Campaign for Liberty to offer the authentic proof quarter ounce pure gold coin. For only $390 plus shipping, Midas will donate $100 to this incredible organization. Help fight big government by ordering your gold coin at 800-686-2237. You get to win twice by owning gold and fighting an overreaching government. Call 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Most of us eat a blend of processed, man-made, and all-natural food. But the food you eat may not provide all the nutrition your body needs. We now know that liquid vitamin supplements are absorbed faster than pills. That's why you need C-Energy from AffinityCEnergy.com. Sea vegetation is known to be the richest source of organic minerals, and that's what you'll find in all-natural, great-tasting Sea Energy. Sea Energy contains aloe vera, black cherry, cranberry, and pomegranate juices, plus ginseng, cat's claw, ginger, ginkgo biloba, and over 50 trace minerals needed for healthy metabolism, all from natural organic sea plant sources. Get a 10% discount by using promo code GCN at checkout when you order Sea Energy from AffinityCEnergy.com. Call 855-732-3637. That's 855-732-3637. Or go to AffinitySeaEnergy.com today.
Were you watching the Packers finally closing the deal? Were you paying attention to the three Steeler turnovers that killed their chances? Did you think the Steelers were coming back? Forget about all that. Everybody I talked to, and it was a record-breaking audience that watched the Super Bowl, they were jazzed about the commercials. I'll tell you the commercial I liked. I love the Darth Vader commercial. I love the whole Volkswagen Darth Vader thing. I had no idea that was going to happen at the end, and I loved it. The dad, he's there in the kitchen. Boom. The kid thinks that he's making the car lights come on, making the car make the noise. It was awesome. I thought that was such a great spot. But the spot, according to AdMeter, that everybody really, really liked, and they liked the Darth Vader commercial, was the Doritos and the Pug commercial. And the guy that made that wasn't even in advertising. He was a part-time web designer who ended up getting $1 million from Frito-Lay because the commercial was number one. And a lot of people were definitely buzzing about that. Someone who knows all about creating the buzz and branding is Gilbert Salazar. He joins us now. He's a branding expert, defactogroup.com. You can check him out there. Hey, Gilbert, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
It's a pleasure, Kate.
Before I ask you about branding these commercials and will it really pay off, what was your favorite commercial? What commercial did you think was the best commercial?
I'm going to have to go with Volkswagen Darth Vader. I think it was a great setup. I think it touched many audiences. It touched kids as well as parents and families. And I think it put Volkswagen in kind of a new light. It added definitely a little bit of humor to the spin.
Yeah, no kidding. Do you think, as a branding person, do you think that helps Volkswagen? Like you just said there, it puts them in a different light. Will this translate into maybe some Volkswagen sales of, to people who weren't necessarily looking at that brand? I mean, isn't that the idea, to get people to start buzzing about Volkswagens?
I'd say, yeah. I mean, I think at the end of the day, brands are really wanting to connect with people. And in this particular ad, it seems to resonate with a really big group, with a really big audience. So at the end of the day, I think if people put Volkswagen Passat on their list of cars they're looking for, absolutely, it was a big win for Volkswagen.
Yeah, no kidding. I always think humor sells. But, you know, there's some people that just don't have that humor deal. They just don't have that funny bone or whatever. But I still think humor connects people. Did you notice that? And you know this. Most of the commercials do lean toward humor. In fact, almost all of them are humor-driven. I don't know if it was that way before, but humor sells, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that's the challenge every year, right? I think people are accustomed to watching the Super Bowls and kind of laughing and you know, kind of gathering and discussing the ads. I guess I think it's getting harder and harder each year to come up with really compelling, funny ads. And in this situation with Volkswagen, for example, you know, an ad as simple as that actually makes people laugh and actually got the humor across. So I think that was interesting. The other thing that was interesting was the Chrysler commercial with Eminem. Definitely no humor there. And that one was really more about the underdog coming back up to the top. And the underdog in that situation being Detroit and Chrysler. I thought that also resonated, you know, from a different perspective. Everybody likes the underdog to kind of come up on top. And that was interesting. Now, I'm not sure if that'll move any metal. But I think it was definitely an interesting spot.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny. I agree with you. There wasn't humor in that spot. But I was sucked in, being from the East and New York and that area. I thought it was a commercial where they were highlighting New York and then talking about Chicago. And the next thing you know, Detroit. And we have a lot of listeners that are in that Michigan area and a lot of people in the auto industry that listen to America Tonight. And I'm sure they understood that. And making the connection, you're right, with Detroit. Like, hey, we're here. This is Detroit. I thought it was pretty powerful. I have to agree with you. It was brilliant using Eminem because he really is Detroit.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, like I said, I think people want to connect with brands. And at the end of the day, if the advertising agency or the brand themselves make that an objective, I think they're heading in the right direction. And in that situation, like I said, hopefully Chrysler will sell more cars because of it. I'm not sure if it will, but it was definitely a compelling spot.
Yeah, no kidding. Who did you think, what commercials do you think missed? Like, I'm not so sure in the GoDaddy spots. The Joan Rivers thing popping up. I get the whole idea of using Danica Patrick and the sexy woman thing. But I don't know. Do you think that those spots resonate, as you say, with people or eh?
You know, I think it's kind of played out. I think GoDaddy has been creating those spots for a number of years. I think it's a little tired, and I'm not sure that, you know, they actually paid off in the end. One of the things that GoDaddy did very well early on is actually direct people to their website where they can actually see the remainder of the spot. You know, in this situation, this many years into it, I'm not sure many people will want to go there.
Yeah, I agree with you, because that's the first thing I was thinking. When they said, for the rest of this, I'm like, I don't want to go to GoDaddy and see the rest of this spot. I don't think so, no.
Go ahead.
I just don't think we want to do that. That call to action, you know, this is what we do all the time now. I think you're right. I don't think it works.
You know, there was another spot, and we seem to be talking a lot about automotive spots because I think they were heavy, in particular in this Super Bowl, but there was another spot that featured Audi. And the spot had Kenny G in it. I believe it was in the first quarter of the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
The call to action with that spot was actually a hashtag that's associated with a Twitter account. The interesting part about that is that they weren't driving people necessarily to their website or their Facebook account. It was very Twitter-centric, and I believe that's the first time that's ever happened.
Ooh, we'll have to go back and check that one out. How about the Justin Bieber, Ozzy Osbourne commercial? Did you buy into that? Do you think anyone would get that?
You know, I think that was interesting. It definitely had some humor with it. And I think when you juxtapose, you know, kind of the older guy, which is Ozzy, with the younger guy, which is Justin Bieber, obviously you're going to get some laughs out of it. And I think, you know, obviously at the end of the day, people like to poke at Ozzy, and I think he's fine with that. But I'm just not sure people actually understood what the spot was for. I believe it was for Best Buy actually buying some used components that you might want to actually sell back to the store. And at the end of the day, you know, the most important thing is that the message gets across. And I'm not sure that I got across in that spot.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure, isn't there? We were just talking about that humor thing. When you're talking about the kind of money that you pay for the commercials and the spots are precious, and, you know, people are grading them now and all that sort of thing, there's a lot of pressure if you're an ad exec and this is your baby. There's a lot of pressure to come up with some good stuff, and that can be pretty hard to say, okay, boom, put in the creative juices. There's pressure now on Madison Avenue, do you think?
Yeah, I think that's always been the case. I think especially now, basically what happens is, you know, you have these brands and these ad companies that basically bid for the time, in accordance with the Super Bowl. And so now what's happened is that they know they're spending a huge amount of money just on the space. Now it's really up to them to come up with a really creative, compelling spot. And in many cases, that doesn't happen. Obviously, there was a lot of clutter last night. I would say that it was kind of an off year. It was good overall. I think the people, you know, that saw that some of the commercials actually, you know, kind of gravitated towards some. It was a good night overall because it looked like spend was actually up. There were more advertisers. Mm-hmm. But in terms of quality, I don't think it was necessarily a quality year. I think there was a lot of clutter, and I think it really helped the really good compelling spots really stand out.
No, I so agree with you. I would say it's an off year, too, from the untrained eye. You heard me mention the one that was got the biggest ad meter response was the Doritos ad that the 31-year-old part-time web designer came up with, the pug charging toward him, taunting the dog. What did you think of that spot?
You know, I thought that was interesting. I thought it was, you know, it definitely had a little bit of humor associated with it. I don't think it was, you know, as interesting, I think, as other people are talking about. I think the most interesting part, like you said, is that that was basically crowdsourced. They basically, you know, crowdsourced some ideas in terms of the commercials that Dorito was working on. Frito-Lay is actually based here in Dallas, so I think it was interesting for them to kind of do that again. I know they've done it the past couple of years, and it seems to work for them. I think the audience is right for that. Now, obviously, not all brands can do that. You know, not all brands can basically reach out to the general public and work in some of the ideas. Some of them are much more sophisticated. Some of them are banking on the spot to be much more funny. And so at the end of the day, I think people will leave it to the professionals to handle.
Yeah. We only have a minute left, but do you like the idea that some of the commercials leak out and they go on YouTube? If you had a client, would you advise them to do that, give them a little sneak preview?
You know, I think it's interesting. Again, I go back to the Audi commercial. They were leaking, you know, kind of tidbits of a commercial throughout the week. As what was Volkswagen, it was generating buzz even before the Super Bowl. I think you almost have to do some of that in this case because I think people are so savvy nowadays. And also the other thing is that the payoff on the other side has to be much greater. So I think it's much more about an overall campaign as opposed to just that one spot during the game.
Yeah. Well said. Interesting talking to you. We'll have to have you back on America Tonight and break down some more of these commercials. Gilbert Salazar, check out defactogroup.com, branding expert. Thanks for hopping on ATN. We appreciate it.
Sore throat? Spray that with Dermatol. Diaper rash? Spray that with Dermatol.
Ouch!
Burn or cut? Spray that with Dermatol for shockingly fast relief. If you had room for only one first aid product in your preparedness kit, you need Dermatol because it works on almost every skin irritation or injury. All natural Dermatol brings amazing relief to burns, cuts, scrapes, bites, boils, shingles, rashes, elderly skin tears, even chronic diabetic ulcers and bed sores. Dermatol is an all-natural, antimicrobial, antiviral, and antifungal wound cleanser that speeds healing with no side effects. It's safe for all ages and skin types, and is even safe enough to spray on sore throats or onto sore eyes. Read our many testimonials at Dermatol.com, spelled Dermatol.com. Order online at Dermatol.com or call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Effective, efficient, economical. Spray it all with Dermatol.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This special announcement is brought to you by Renaissance Charge.
Have you ever wondered if you could make your car run on 100% electric power for free?
It is now possible. How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? Because our customers asked for it, we have organized the Renaissance Charge Conference Workshop on July 29th to July 31st at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy, Tesla technology. Register early for the best seats and advanced workshop by visiting rcharge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
Hi, I'm Don Wiskin, and have you ever wondered what the garlic cayenne drops could do for you? February is Heart Month, and we want you to find out just what can happen when you take the right combination of herbs designed to maintain our cardiovascular health. Purchase a 4-month supply of Extendivite drops or capsules, plus get a bonus month supply of capsules for only $125 plus shipping. That's 5 months worth of Extendivite for $25 per month. This is a Heart Month special to help get you started on your path to better health and ends February 28th. So don't be left out. Find out what Extendivite can do for you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com. Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tonight, Kate Delaney, of course, hanging with all of you across the nation. I'll tell you what, I met this woman probably about a year and a half ago and was so enthralled by her story and with what she's doing to help other people, one, in her native country, and now a couple of other countries, too. Wait till you hear about this, because, you know, we talk about a lot of charity situations and how you can help someone help themselves. Michelle Hollander is in our virtual green room. She has put down the latte, but we're ushering her in. She's the Director of Global Development and Public Relations for Helps International. Hey, Michelle, how are you?
How are you, Kate?
I'm excellent. Hey, let's, first of all, tell everybody what, in a nutshell, tell us what HELPS does. The name's intriguing. If somebody sees HELPS International, they're going to scratch their head if they don't know and say, HELPS International, what do they do? What do you do?
Well, HELPS is an integrated approach for poverty reduction. I am from Guatemala. Like you said, I was born and raised there. And there's so much poverty in this country. And HELPS was started here in the U.S. by an American person who saw the need to help the people. And he started, this is Stephen Miller, the president, he started bringing two friends that were doctors 27 years ago, and they saw that the need was so big, medical need. It was a civil war in the highlands, and then they started bringing other friends, and within 10 years, Helps became the largest medical relief of the country in the Highlands. Helps does surgeries, and up to date right now, we take 12 medical teams to the Highlands. Every month, we take a medical team of around 100 people, and they operate on the indigenous people. We do surgeries, all kinds of cataract surgeries, OBGYN, and children. And this team, were seeing the same problem team after team when they came, and they were seeing a lot of hernia problems, a lot of upper respiratory problems, and they went to the root cause. And what it was people in Latin America, women, cook and open fires on the floor. They put 3 stones and they put wood and they do their tortillas, they boil water in a bonfire inside the house. So Helps developed a stove called the O'Neill stove. And the O'Neill stove, what it does, it uses only 30% of the wood, eliminates the smoke out of the house. It's a self-contained stove, so there is no open fire. And the beauty of it is that women can have 2 extra days a week in their time to do other things like educate their kids or start their own business through microcredit. So within a year, we're giving around 100 free days to women. Wouldn't you like to have 100 free days of time?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, what a great thing. How many people, and I know you probably don't know the for sure the big number because this organization has been around since the mid-'80s, but if you had to just take a guesstimate at it, Michelle, how many people do you think, how many lives do you think you've changed or you've helped change so far?
Oh, yes. That number, for example, in the medical, we have seen over 200,000 patients just in the medical side. But then if you add stoves, we have installed already 100,000 stoves in homes. And each home has at least 5 people. So it's 500,000 people with the stove program that has been helped in Guatemala, Mexico, and now Nicaragua. So it's pretty big because you impact the whole family. Really, with this stove, you're changing generations. You're changing how women cook, and a family is no smoke in a house. Can you imagine living in a house where there's always smoke? Mm. It's horrible. That's why they had their upper respiratory problems in their lungs, because they were inhaling 24/7 smoke from the open fire.
Boy, no kidding. What a pleasure to talk to you, and a treat because we're going to talk here. She's going to pass it over to Steve Miller, president of Helps. He's the guy who decided to come up with this brilliant idea and start Helps International and get people excited about it. Hey, Steve, how are you?
Steve Miller is here, the president of Helps.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Hello.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Kate, how are you?
I'm good. You know, tell us about why you jumped into this. What made you, you know, you're a guy, you had some extra money, we'll say you're a business guy, and you wanted to do something which is great, philanthropic, help somebody, help some people. How did you, first of all, start Helps? How did you choose Helps?
Well, you know, I guess the smart answer is that they chose us. But I think the real reality is that you know, and anybody from a human side of things, when you see people in need, you generally react. And so I don't think we're any different from that. But I think as we develop this, we've been doing this for, 25 years now. So as we developed and went on in time, we saw and we began to learn a little bit about Latin America. And the importance of Latin America really came home to us. You know, for the United States, it's our number one trading partner.
Yeah.
In fact, Mexico and Canada are tied for number one themselves.
Yeah.
It's not China. It's not Europe. It's Latin America. So
that's part of the reason why then. I mean, you saw that. You saw the need that was certainly there. And Michelle was just explaining about the stoves. How significant is that to these families?
Say that again. How is what?
How significant are the stoves to these families?
Oh, it's huge, because if you think about a third of the population of Mexico, think about this, still cooks their food over open fires in the house.
Mm.
And the woman is locked into gathering firewood and breathing air that's maybe 400 times the level of carbon monoxide EPA lets us have. And She is locked into a cycle of poverty that she'll never get out of. Kids fall in the fire. And if you think of this, people would never understand this, but they spend 40% of their entire income just to buy wood to cook on.
Wow.
So if we look at our hemisphere and say, you know, this is a pretty important hemisphere for us all, how can we help people that are living under the poverty line, which is more than half our populations? Well, one way is to free their income from their energy dependence on wood. So what we do is we develop the stove called the O'Neill, and it saves 70% of that expense of the wood, and if they buy it. And that goes right into their pocket. That is a very tangible thing, as long as the health and the children aren't being burned and all that stuff.
Right.
But the stove is one of the devices that we believe has to occur to change the way people live in their homes. Because if you don't do that, generationally, they will never get out of poverty.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
That's what – it's a simple, stupid thing. You know,
right.
You think of stove, what's that?
Sure.
But in reality, sometimes the most profound things are the simplest.
Yeah, no kidding. That 70% is such a huge number. For the medical teams, you take the medical teams, you get volunteers from all over the country. Where do you primarily get the teams from that go down and help you out in Latin America?
We have chapters all around the United States, in Michigan, Minnesota, and California, and Texas, and Oregon, and, you know, all around the country we have people that come in. And it's a testimony to the medical people of this country. And everybody hears about bad doctors and everything. Let me tell you about the good doctors and the nurses. They spend their own money. They go down and they take their own vacation to help people that they don't know that they'll never get a dime from. That's the American medical community, and I've been privileged the last, you know, 25 years to work with them. And
yeah.
These folks come back year after year, and they are amazing at what they do. So, yeah, they come from all over the country, and they're amazing people, and they're very compassionate people. They represent the best that this country can give.
Yeah, no kidding. Well said. What does it mean for you when you first saw, and you must have seen this on the ground, when you first really started to realize those numbers that you were talking about and you started to see what was happening with the medical teams, what did that do for you, Steve? I mean, it had to give you a different perspective after 25 years especially.
Well, if you go down there and see what you see, we have this expression that says, you know, and your garage door doesn't work when you get back, it doesn't bother you quite so much. You know, it is a great perspective of life to be had by understanding what you have versus what the rest of the world has and really what you need at the end of the day. We don't need a lot of our stuff, and that
right.
doesn't make us happy. You know, happiness doesn't come from what you own and the new car you have in your garage. It's nice. There's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
But it's not all – it's not everything. And I think what we learned is – and certainly I have is the power of the volunteer and what service does – to people's lives, and it certainly has been the case within health. And I'll tell you, for me, it's really an experience. When I have a stove team, because we have volunteers to come down and put in stoves into these homes and medical volunteers, but when I have a stove team behind me and I pull up to one of these houses in the mountains, and the smoke's billowing and the kids naked in the front yard, the woman is back. She has no fire in her eye at all.
Mm.
And I know when I look at that house and in 45 minutes, I am going to rock their world. I will change them generationally, and they have to want the stove in the first place, but they really don't know what's going to happen to them. And it's really neat to come back later. Yes, the lady, well, have you saved any money? She says, oh, yeah, I have money now. Well, what are you doing with the money? Well, I'm buying clothes for the kids. Well, I mean, that's all it's about
right.
at the end of the day.
So. Boy, no kidding. We want to tell everybody to find out more about Helps, go to helpsinternational.org. It's laid out really well. You can Check out the videos and stuff, and you'll get a sense of what Steve is talking about. Powerful, 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 powerful work. 25 years. Wow. I hope more people learn that lesson. I like what you said about service. It's the whole idea when you see the volunteer and how it all connects. Steve, thanks so much for joining us, you and Michelle, here on America Tonight.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Anything we can do, let us know.
All right, thank you.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I am 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Detailed at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeCig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeCig. E-cigarettes with a look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeCig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeCig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeCig.com. That's LeCig.com. LeCig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LeCig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's LeCig.com. LeCig, for today's modern smoker.
Nail the score. It was our final nail the score of the season. And did anybody else win the little contest that we have? Because Chris in Connecticut really drained the prize closet. But, you know, it's still about bragging rights. And there were some prizes that you would have received if you did nail the score. So, did anybody nail the score? We're going to tell you about that in a second. But speaking of getting nailed, Egypt is getting hammered. That's what everybody's talking about. What happens with Egypt in the Middle East? We started the show with our conversation with Victoria Jones inside the Beltway. What was the reaction? What are they saying from the White House? 297, almost 300 killed in Egypt so far in those last 3 weeks. But the protest seems to be, like I said, waning. So all of that hoopla over the Muslim Brotherhood and who takes over next, and which is important because if you look at our involvement in the Middle East, for goodness sake, as much as many of us think, well, just get out of Afghanistan, drop the situation, that's not happening. The investment's there, and certainly under the current administration, it's not going to happen, and it's not going to happen in the next administration, whether it's Obama Part 2 or whoever comes in next, because the so-called exit date has already been thrown out as 2014. So you can't completely ignore the Middle East, as much as with some of what's happened there and the money that's been poured into the Middle East in these different conflicts and whatnot. Many of us would say, forget it, screw it. I mean, this is what is draining our education. This is what's draining the coffers partially in the United States. It's not going to happen. That's the bottom line. There's reality in what we think should have happened, but you can't wind the clock back. So moving forward, Mubarak, what, gets kind of a stay, and then he's going to step aside, but who steps in? The push to still see him go away is still there. However, in the square, even though there are protesters, because now they're kind of barricaded in this tent camp, it's different than initially the protests were the last 4 or 5 days. So the pressure, can they maintain, and this is the whole thing, can they maintain pressure on the government when Mubarak is pushed aside? Or if he refuses to say goodbye until September? That's always been what the issue is. You think of Iran and the protests and the young people who Twittered out, and some of the sad stories we heard as a result, and how brave they were to fight and keep saying we want, you know, free elections and we don't believe the election results and all that sort of stuff. But in the end, there wasn't enough steam. So here we go again. You've got hundreds of thousands of people that took part in a lot of the demonstrations, and almost 300 people dead. The Muslim Brotherhood has been the best organized opposition group, but they said they're probably going to quit the process if the demands are not met, including Mubarak being gone. As for the U.S., it's this little dance of we'll see what happens, we're being cautious, we have to see what this orderly transition is. For decades, this Egypt has been a strategic ally, you know, all that other sort of stuff. So if Mubarak does leave, but which he will by September, if nothing else, who is he replaced with? What if there is another authoritarian person waiting in the wings, another dictator? See, that's the problem. You know, the old thing of be careful what you wish for. So the Muslim Brotherhood, looking at their background and what direction they would take if they were the group to be put in place, which I don't think so, because I don't think they've got the majority of the support. I think if the Muslim Brotherhood got into power, it'd be disastrous for Egypt for sure, and not too good for the United States, because they have massive anti-American rhetoric that courses through their blood. Absolutely. If you read anything about their, I'll call it their manifesto, and just look at it, even not just scratch the surface, you'll see it's not what it appears to be. It's simply not. So the Muslim Brotherhood as a whole are really not about peace and freedom. They are about, okay, ultimately, if we can't get people to see our way, jihad. It's right there from ultimately the leader of the Muslim Brotherhood. So unless he's thrown out, while there might be a certain arm of the Muslim Brotherhood who aren't this way, ultimately that's not the way it's set up. So you're starting to see them pull back. And Mubarak has set up two committees that are drawing up this constitution, one of the demands of the protesters. Mubarak chaired the first meeting of this new cabinet, which supposedly is supposed to keep, this is the money part, the subsidies, in other words, the money that's flying into the country in full, and draw in foreign investment. I mean, this was part of the problem. Where do you think the money went besides the military in Egypt for 30-plus years? So then you have Congressman Ron Paul saying, let's just cut the crap. Let's cut the aid to Egypt then. If you know, why keep going in this direction? Why are we giving aid to Egypt if this is what's going to happen? Why are we paying for this? It doesn't make any sense. And he has a great point. If they're going to continue to go down this path, what are you paying for? Are you paying for peace and an ally in the Middle East in a significant spot? In other words, kind of as the blockade to Iran and Israel and some of else what lies beneath, and also the Suez Canal. I mean, you have to ask yourself that. What is the United States paying for? What are they paying for? In the interest of time, I would be remiss not to talk about the Super Bowl here for a second. The Super Bowl, not a surprise. Every single year we say it. The Super Bowl was the most watched event of the year. 111 million people watched the Super Bowl. Were they disappointed with the ads? Were they disappointed because the ads become such a big thing now? Were they disappointed with the game? The Packers go back to Titletown as the Super Bowl champs. Aaron Rodgers, the MVP. And you can bet that the people in all over Wisconsin were loud and proud. I mean, this Lambeau Field crowd, they gobble up football. So did anybody nail the score? Ultimately, did anybody nail the score? And the answer to that question is nobody nailed the score. Oh, so close, but yet so far away. I say it every single time. It's not like horseshoes. It's not about who's the closest, because I've had people ask me that. Well, doesn't close count? Can you imagine if we took close? Because then you could take it on either side of the numbers, and that would be absolutely disastrous if we decided to do it that way. So the bottom line is, for all of you who participated in Nail the Score of the season, thank you very much, but nobody got it. Nobody got it right. However, Aaron Rodgers knew exactly what he was going to say once they nailed the win. What did he say afterwards?
I'm going to Disney World!
So 31-25 was the final score, and the closest one at 31-25, Ralph in Kentucky, who was actually calling in for Carol, 31-25, he had 31-21. Steelers, that was part of the problem. But nobody else came close. He wasn't even really that close because he said Steelers. Packers-wise, well, we did have Lacey in Kentucky who said 31-27. Too bad that wasn't 31-25. Close, but not exactly right. My guess, by the way, was the Packers would win it 35-27. So congratulations to all the Green Bay fans. I am sure you are still elated.